call the meeting back to order. What's the matter?
No, I didn't know if you banged the gavel or not, I just pulled it up.
Okay, Mr. Fuqua, you're up.
Yeah, I apologize, obviously I was anxious to speak. So for the record, my name's Jim Fuqua. I am representing Cheney Enterprises, who will be the owner and operator of the concrete plant, and they are the real party in interest that's affected by this appeal. With me is Kyle Murray, you see right back here, he's the land general manager for Cheney, and also Nick and Fernando Valquez of Trinity Commercial Holdings LLC, who are the property owners. I'm here tonight on behalf of my client to explain why the director's determination should be affirmed by the board. And in addition, as the board knows, or there are some new members of the board, some of the board members may not be familiar with this, but if the board's decision is subsequently appealed to Superior Court, where appeals from the board go to, the court will actually look at this record that's made tonight to determine whether the board's decision was correct. So part of my responsibility, other than urging you to uphold the director's decision, is to make a record supporting your determination. As you can see, this is a little bit complicated because of code sections, and I am going to take some of the board's time, but I want you to understand why it's necessary for me to do that. Before addressing the arguments that are raised in the appeal, I actually just want to tell you what your decision should be and why you should reach that decision. The Planning and Zoning Director determined that Cheney's proposed use, a concrete plant, is a permitted use in the HI1 heavy industrial zoning district. And I ask you to keep that in mind. This is a heavy industrial zone property. I think the board may feel a little bit confused after hearing Mr. Whistle's arguments. And I think some of that was confusing because his arguments are confusing and a bit complex. In sharp contrast to that, Janelle's determination that concrete plants are permitted use in the HI1 heavy industrial district is very simple and straightforward. The director's determination is also the same determination reached by Cheney in choosing this particular site for its operations, based on, again, the undisputed fact that this six-acre parcel is zoned heavy industrial, and it has been zoned heavy industrial since 1986, over 33 years. We're referring to a lot of code sections, and I realize you really need to take time to read those, and quite frankly, I can't even see that on the board here, so I won't even direct you to that. But Section 115-109 of the Zoning Ordinance states the purpose of the HI1 district is to provide for a variety of industrial operations. And as has been stated, Section 115-110 then lists the permitted uses that land shall be used for in the HI1 district. And again, if you go to 110, as Mr. Workman noted, there's three sections there. There's A, there's B, and there's C. All of those are permitted uses. It's all under the permitted use section. Section 115C provides a list of specific uses that are permitted in the HI1 district. And one of those permitted uses is concrete products or central mixing and proportioning plants. In addition, Section 115-110C also permits similar industrial uses which do not create more negative impact than those resulting from the other permitted uses. And they involve the manufacture, compounding, processing, packaging, or treatment of the listed products or similar products. In our case, concrete products. So again, as I stated, concrete products or central mixing and proportioning plants are part of the listed uses permitted in the HI1 district. As I will explain in a minute, and it was somewhat discussed, a concrete batching plant is a similar industrial use to a central concrete mixing and proportioning plant. It has no greater impact than a central plant. Therefore, both a central concrete mixing and proportioning plant and a concrete batching plant are permitted uses in the HI1 zoning district as authorized in that section. The fundamental rule of statutory construction, and that's actually what you're doing tonight, much like a court, you're doing statutory construction, and that rule is that the plain meaning of the statutory language controls. And the plain meaning of section 115.110C is that central concrete plants are permitted use in the heavy industrial district, as well as concrete batching plants, which are a similar industrial use, having no greater impact. That is the plain meaning of section 115.110C. That was Janelle's decision. That was also the determination of Cheney, and that should be the determination of the board in affirming Janelle's decision that Cheney's proposed use is a permitted use in the HI1 heavy industrial district. Now, since this is a hearing on the appeal filed by Mr. Witzel on behalf of his clients, I do need to address the arguments. As was stated, an appeal to the board may be taken by any person aggrieved by filing an appeal specifying the grounds for the appeal. As has been stated, there are three specific grounds stated for this appeal. Again, just to remind you, the first is an allegation that Janelle committed error in not requiring Cheney to obtain approval from the Board of Adjustment for a potentially hazardous use under section 115-111. Second, there is an allegation that Janelle committed error in not requiring Cheney to obtain approval from the Board of Adjustment for a special use exception for a concrete batching plant. And third, there is an allegation that Janelle committed error in permitting the site plan review to proceed to the Planning and Zoning Commission, who did review and approve the preliminary site plan on August 8th. Cheney's position is exactly the same as Janelle's position, that is, that no error occurred, since central plants and batching plants are permitted use in the HI1 heavy industrial zoning district. I want to address the three grounds that were raised on appeal, if I may, in reverse order, because I think it flows better that way. It makes a little more sense. The third issue on appeal was Janelle permitting the site plan review by the Planning and Zoning Commission, and that issue is totally dependent on the other two issues. If the proposed use is not a permitted use in the heavy industrial district, then the site plan review by the Planning Commission would have been premature. On the other hand, if the use is a permitted use, then the site plan review by the Planning Commission was totally appropriate. So the third ground of appeal really depends on the other two issues. The second issue on appeal was that Janelle committed error in not requiring Cheney to obtain a special use exception from the board for a concrete batching plant. The basis for that argument, which is stated on page 3 of the appeal, and I'll quote without the code, well, I'll just quote the whole thing. Concrete batching plants are identified as a use permitted by special use exception in the LI2 Light Industrial 2 District, Article 14, Section 115-105A, provided approval is acquired by the Board of Adjustment after a public hearing, Exhibit 7. Accordingly, Cheney's actual proposed use of a concrete batching plant is permitted only after a public hearing on a special use exception application and approval by the board. Now, that's the allegation in the appeal. Now, to me, this is a very strange argument when you consider that Cheney's property is zoned HI1, heavy industrial. It is not zoned LI2, light industrial. And Mr. Witzel acknowledges on page 3 of the appeal that concrete batching plants are not identified as a special use exception authorized in the HI1 district. So his reasoning appears to be that since a special use exception for a batching plant is required in the LI2 district, it should also be required in the HI1 district, even though it's not authorized by the zoning ordinance in the HI1 district. So in effect, his position is that the board should disregard the language of section 115-114 of the zoning ordinance, and that's the section that lists the special use exceptions that are authorized in the H1 zone. So disregard that and in effect amend that section to state what he wants it to state, that it's required to be a special use exception. And I'm just going to simply state that argument has no basis, it has no merit, and I'm sure the board recognizes that it certainly has no authority to enact or amend or modify the existing zoning ordinance. That's the responsibility of the Sussex County Council. I apologize for taking more time addressing this issue, but as I said, for purposes of the record, I want to fully cover it, and I want to explain the board's authority in more detail. Again, section 115-210 of the zoning ordinance addresses the board's authority to approve special exceptions in general. And subsection A1 of section 210 authorizes the board to approve a list of uses, including concrete batching plants, and as stated in the ordinance, quote, which are specified in each district. So the general section 210 says you can approve these things and they are specified in each district. A review of the districts in the zoning ordinance indicates that concrete batching plants are identified as a special use exception in 8 different zoning districts. And I have an exhibit of what those are, and do I? So in 8 different zoning districts, concrete batching plants are actually identified as a special use exception. Those zoning districts are the AR1 district, the GR district, the UB district, the B1 district, the C1 district, the CR1 district, the LI1 district, and the LI2 districts. So in all 8 of those zoning districts, batching plants are authorized as a regular special use exception if approved by the board. Now the critical problem with Mr. Witzel's argument is that section 115-114A of the code, batching plants are not authorized as a special use exception in the HI1 heavy industrial district. And that fact is fatal to Mr. Witzel's second argument. He attempts to circumvent this fact by arguing that because batching plants require approval as a special use exception in the light industrial 2 district, Cheney should be required to obtain one in the HI1 heavy industrial district, even though it's not authorized. Now, that position is both legally and logically deficient. What special use exceptions are authorized in the light industrial district has no bearing on what special use exceptions are authorized in the HI1 district. They're mutually exclusive things. The ordinance is plain, it's clear, it speaks for itself. Concrete batching plants are not authorized and cannot even be applied for in the HI1 district. So on issue number 2 of the appeal, Janelle's determination was correct and her decision should be affirmed by the board. Now, I do want to add one more thing to this. The reason why a concrete batching plant is not authorized as a special use exception in the HI1 zoning district has a very simple and logical answer. Because again, if you go back and think about this for a second, you can apply for a special use exception in 8 other zoning districts for a batching plant, but you can't apply in the heavy industrial district. Now it's like, well, that doesn't make sense. That would seem to be the logical place. But the reason it's not authorized as a special exception is because it's not needed. And it's not needed because both concrete central plants and concrete batching plants are permitted use in the HI1 district. That's why it doesn't appear as a special exception. And that brings the board to the first issue on appeal, which is that Janelle committed error in not requiring Cheney to obtain approval from the board for potentially hazardous use, and that's the provisions under section 115-111 of the code. Mr. Witzel argues that section 115-111 requires board approval as a potentially hazardous use because Cheney's use involves cement as an ingredient of concrete. As a very basic starting point, I want to explain for the record the difference between cement and concrete. I don't mean to be simple, but I had no idea when I started this case the difference. I saw the sidewalk, I said it's a cement sidewalk, it's a concrete sidewalk. It meant the same thing to me. And apparently it does to a lot of people. But there is quite a difference between cement and concrete. And this is in my letter of July 26, 2019, which is part of the record. It's Exhibit 4 of the appeal documents. The terms cement and concrete are often incorrectly used interchangeably, but cement and concrete are distinctly different products. Cement is made from a closely controlled chemical combination of limestone, calcium, silicone, iron, aluminum, among other ingredients, that is heated in large kilns to about 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit to form a product known as clinkers, which roughly resemble marbles. They are then ground into a powder, and that creates the gray flour-like product that we all know as cement. Now, the manufacturing of cement, by its nature, heating something up to 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit, certainly is a potentially hazardous use that would require board approval in accordance with Section 115.111. Cheney's proposed use, however, has nothing to do with the manufacture or making of cement. Cheney's use is a concrete plant. Now, concrete is a mixture of cement with fine and coarse aggregate, which basically are rocks, stones, sand, pebbles. Cement makes up about 10 to 15% of the mass of the concrete ingredients, and then water is added to the ingredients to form concrete. A concrete plant consists of pieces of equipment that store, load, weigh, discharge the concrete or concrete ingredients into a concrete transport truck, which you're all familiar with. Mr. Witzel recited the pieces of equipment that I had cited in my letter previously, so I won't repeat that. Again, just for clarification, there are two main types of concrete plants. There's a central plant and a batching plant. And a central plant is also called a wet plant, and a batching plant is called a dry plant.
I have a question, if I may. So cement is what you heat up to make this mixture.
Cement you make different chemicals, heat it up real hot, and that makes cement.
And that's used to make concrete.
Cement is an ingredient in concrete.
So where is that concrete going to come from? It's just going to be sitting there already made?
Well, I'm not
going to make it there.
No, the concrete is just concrete.
Cement, concrete. I thought it was all the same thing.
No, cement is again different chemicals that are heated very high for a chemical reaction. They then cool down and form something like a rocks.
Right.
They're then broken up and ground and pulverized into cement. That's the grayish powder that we'd be more familiar with. And then concrete mixes the cement with stones and sand and pebbles, adds water to it, and that forms what we see as concrete when you're out laying a foundation or something like that. There's no heating or things of that nature involved in making the concrete as compared to cement.
It's got to come from somewhere.
Well, the cement comes, I mean, it can come in bags or it can come in trucks.
Okay.
I'm just trying to figure
it out here.
No. Cement is not being made. Concrete is being made.
Okay.
Cement is an ingredient.
I gotcha.
Okay?
Yeah, I clarified a lot.
All right, the central plant, or the wet plant, it pre-mixes the concrete ingredients with water before loading the wet mixture into the concrete truck. So there's a central mixing, and then that wet concrete is poured into the truck. A batching plant, or a dry plant, it loads the dry ingredients into the truck, where water is then added, and the ingredients are mixed in the truck. And a central plant you know, implies a bigger plant. A batching plant, as the name implies, is you're making a batch of concrete as opposed to a central plant, which is making big mixes of concrete. Again, there's a letter from a consultant that Mr. Witzel had retained in a letter in the file dated August 8th. I'll just refer to that, that basically confirms what I just referenced. Now, the only difference between a central plant and a batching plant is when the water is added to the ingredients. It's either added before it's put on the truck, it's added directly into the truck. That's the difference. Now, with that background, a quick course in concrete and cement, I will address the first ground of appeal. And that ground was that the proposed use requires approval as a potentially hazardous use under Section 115.111, which clearly it does not. But what does apply to both central concrete plants and batching plants, as I've stated before, is Section 115.110C of the zoning ordinance, which authorizes central concrete mixing and proportioning plants and similar industrial uses having no greater impact as permitted uses in the HI1 district. And again, when I say permitted uses, these are uses permitted by right. They do not require any approval. They are not subject to conditions. Under the zoning ordinance, they are permitted. They were part of that determination that was made by the Sussex County Council when the zoning ordinance was adopted. Now, again, as I explained, the two types of plants are identical other than when water is added to the concrete ingredients. And even Mr. Witzel has acknowledged that a central concrete plant and a concrete batching plant are basically identical. And the terms central batching plant, central and batching plants are interchangeable. And I do want to just submit copies of Mr. Witzel's letter. This is Mr. Witzel's letter of July 24th, which is in Exhibit 1 of the appeal documents. And I highlighted in yellow the section I'm referring to. So as it stated in his letter, quote, a concrete central mixing and proportioning plant has identical material ingredients and methods of processing the raw materials into concrete as a concrete batching plant. The terms of the two facilities are interchangeable. So whether the plant is a central plant or a batching plant is a distinction without a difference. And as I stated in the beginning of my presentation, the section 115.110 establishes what uses are permitted in the HI1 district, and Section C clearly covers this use. So again, a reading of that section clearly indicates that central concrete plants and concrete batching plants are permitted uses in the heavy industrial zoning district pursuant to 115.110C. Now, in closing, I want to mention three principles of statutory construction. In other words, how does a court determine what a statute means? And again, you're often told you're somewhat of a court in Board of Adjustment matters. In fact, again, appeals from you go directly to court. There's no intervening body. And particularly in this type of issue tonight, you're really acting very much like a court in interpreting what a statute says. So the three principles I just want to mention to you, and again, I have these submitted as exhibits.
And Mr. Fuqua, I know you've given some exhibits. I know Mr. Witzel's sitting there. We do have an extra copy if Mr. Witzel would like the exhibits that come in. So.
Okay, the first principle is that zoning laws are interpreted in favor of the occupants of land. And if there are two reasonable interpretations of a statute, the one that favors the landowner controls. So to the extent that there is any doubt as to the correct interpretation, that doubt must be resolved in favor of the landowner. In other words, even if there were two equally reasonable ways to interpret a zoning ordinance, and in this case, there clearly is not, the one that favors Cheney would control your decision. The second principle is that if a statute as a whole is unambiguous and there is no reasonable doubt as to the meaning of the words used, the court's role is limited to an application of the literal meaning of those words. The plain meaning of statutory language controls, and the plain meaning of section 115.110C is that concrete plants, both central and batching, are permitted uses in the HI1 district, and that Janelle's determination was correct. The third principle is the fact that the parties disagree about the meaning of a statute does not create ambiguity. Rather, a statute is ambiguous only if it is reasonably susceptible of different interpretations. And even if a statute were deemed ambiguous, statutes must be construed as a whole in a way that gives effect to all the provisions of the statute and avoids absurd results. So Mr. Witzel's allegation as to the interpretation does not in itself create an ambiguity. There's only an ambiguity if the statute is reasonably susceptible to different interpretations, and section 115.110C states clearly and plainly that the proposed use is a permitted use in the appropriate heavy industrial district. Just as important, and I'll ask you to consider this carefully, is the fact that Mr. Witzel's interpretation of the code sections in the HI1 zoning district, as argued in the grounds 1 and 2 of the appeal, creates absurd results. His second argument, again, if you remember, is the one that you should have required a special, or Janelle should have required a submittal for a special use exception. His second argument asks you to overrule Janelle and find that Cheney should have been required to obtain a special use exception from the board for a concrete batching plant, even though that use is not authorized per section 115.114 as a special use exception in the HI1 district. So not only is board approval for this use not needed because it's permitted, but under the zoning ordinance, a special use exception for this use cannot even be applied for because it's not authorized in the HI1 district. So his argument there, again, leads to an absurd result. You can't apply for something that can't be applied for. As to his first argument, you're being requested to find that even though both central concrete plants and concrete batching plants are authorized as permitted uses in the HI1 district, you should disregard or ignore section 115.110, which again is these are the permitted uses in the HI1 district. You should ignore that and find that since an ingredient of concrete is cement, concrete plants should be subject to the requirements of the section 115 potentially hazardous use section. So that interpretation not only ignores the plain language of 115.110C, but it would also make that language meaningless. On the one hand, it's permitted use. On the other hand, it's not a permitted use and requires special use exception. It can't be both.
Well, the key word is where any doubt exists.
There is no doubt.
Well, then what's that say?
Well, I don't know what you're pointing to. I didn't.
It's 115-110C, where any doubt exists as to the nature of a proposed use, product, or process, the proposal shall be considered as a potentially hazardous use. Who makes that determination?
Janelle. But again, what's the doubt as to the use? It's a concrete plant.
Well, not everybody understands the process of cement and concrete, as we've learned tonight.
Well, it's a, okay, well, I hope I...
Cement is hazardous because it's a, you're heating chemicals and making, but that's not what you're doing.
Correct.
So...
So, but there is no doubt as to the use. It's clear, perfectly clear, this is a concrete plant. That's what the use is. So that section doesn't apply because there is no doubt.
Concrete products.
Concrete products and...
Or central mixing and proportioning plants. But it does have that word doubt in the code, so...
Yeah, but the doubt refers to...
Determination.
The doubt refers to the proposed use. There is no doubt as to this use.
Okay.
We're not in here saying we might do this, we might do that. This is a concrete plant. All right.
Yeah.
Dry concrete plant.
It's a dry plant.
Yeah.
So what I was saying is that would that you would just ignore section 110C with that interpretation, and it just makes the language meaningless. So that would be an absurd result. In contrast to that, Janelle's determination that the proposed use is a permitted use results from the plain literal language of section 115.110C. In addition, I mentioned to you that concrete batching plants are authorized as special exceptions in 8 specific zoning districts, including the AR1 and GR residential zones. And those special use exceptions do not require approval as a potentially hazardous use. All they require is approval as a regular special use exception. In other words, it will not adversely affect the uses of neighboring and adjacent property owners. So Mr. Witzel's interpretation that in the heavy industrial district, you would have to get potentially hazardous use approval, that would require that a concrete batching plant be designated as a potentially hazardous use in the heavy industrial district, while at the same time, concrete batching plants in all other of those 8 districts, which are all certainly less appropriate, including the AR1 and the GR1, they would not be required to get potentially hazardous use. Now, that makes no sense. And that, again, is an absurd result. The only interpretation that gives effect to all of the statutory provisions of the HI1 district and avoids absurd results is Janelle's determination that section 115.110C permits both central concrete plants and concrete batching plants in the HI1 district as a permitted use. The legal principles that I mentioned, I handed you the a summary of those. I do have language in there citing cases from the Delaware Supreme Court in several decisions, and again, that's in the record and for Mr. Sharp's reference if you have any questions from him. So for the reason stated, it should be the determination of the board that as to appeal issue number 1, Janelle did not commit error in that the proposed use is a permitted use authorized by section 115.110C, and Janelle's decision should be affirmed. As to appeal issue number 2, Janelle did not commit error in that the proposed use is not authorized by section 115.114 as a special use exception in the HI1 district and is a permitted use in that district per section 115.110C of the zoning ordinance, and Janelle's decision should be affirmed. And as to appeal issue number 3, Janelle did not commit error since the proposed use is a permitted use and it was appropriate to present the site plan to the Planning and Zoning Commission for preliminary site plan review. For the reasons stated, it is requested that the director's determination be affirmed on all 3 of the grounds of appeal. And that the appeal be denied. Again, I thank you for your time, and I'm certainly available to answer any questions you have.
Are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. Sharp?
Mr. Fuquay, do you have somebody here to affirm statements that you've made? I know we've heard from Mr. Witzel's.
Yeah, I had it on my list here. I referred to things that were in the record. I certainly can do that.
Sure.
Mr. Murray, could you just be sworn in?
Can you state your name and address for the record?
Kyle Murray, 2410 Evergreen Road, Gambrills, Maryland.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Murray, other than the legal arguments I made regarding the code, which you would not be that familiar with, but were any of the factual things I said, are they all true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Correct.
Okay. I think that's it.
Mr. Carson has a question.
Mr. Fuquay, under 115.110 permitted uses, the code states concrete products or central mixing and proportioning plants. Would it be your position that the word proportioning and batching would be interchangeable?
I'd have two answers to that. One would be yes, but the other one would be if you, again, if you read C, it says the following uses, and then it says concrete products and central plant.
Right.
And then it goes on to say, and any similar industrial uses which are not likely to create any more offensive noise, vibrations, dust, heat, smoke, odors, glares, or other objectionable influences than the minimum amount normally resulting from other uses permitted, and involving the compounding, processing, packaging, or treatment of the following products or similar products. All right, and then, of course, under that, it refers to concrete products and central mixing. So, and then that's where that section is about doubt. But again, as I said, so what this is saying is something that is of a similar use to what is stated is also a permitted use.
Okay. So right? you would see a similar.
And I'm equating a batching plant and a central plant as being the same use.
And interchangeable with the word proportion.
I didn't use the word interchangeable. Mr. Witzel did use the word interchangeable, and I would agree with him.
Okay.
Central and batching.
Between all of you, then, I'm hearing a... thank you. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Janelle Cornels, Sussex County Planning and Zoning Director. I'm going to give you a brief history of why we're here tonight. July of 1986, the property rezoned to HI1. June of this year, a site plan was submitted as a concrete products or central mixing or concrete mixing and proportioning plant. Under 115.110C, it is stated as a permitted use, so staff processed the site plan application. Under 115, it says the following uses, and under the following uses is the concrete products or central mixing and proportioning plants. So therefore, we processed the site plan. The question about doubt, the doubt is for the similar industrial uses that are not specifically identified, because it says the following uses are permitted or similar industrial uses that are not likely to create offense. So again, what we received was an application for a site plan that said it was a concrete products or concrete mixing and proportioning plant. We know that there's concern that it's a potentially hazardous use. However, the 115-111, which is the potentially hazardous use section, does not apply because, again, a concrete products or concrete mixing and portioning plant is identified in 110C as a permitted use. So that does not require a potentially hazardous use. And again, as Mr. Fuquay stated in Mr. Witzel's letter of July 24th of this year, that a concrete central mixing and proportioning plant has identical material ingredients and methods of processing the raw materials into concrete as a concrete batching plant. The terms of the two facilities are interchangeable. He also provided additional information on August 8th, Mr. Witzel did, for the site plan file that said concrete batching plant, and that information, it did actually reference a central mixing plant was the same as a concrete batching plant. So after we reviewed the site plan, the Planning Commission reviewed the site plan at their meeting of August 8th. They granted a preliminary approval. Again, it's not a potentially hazardous use, as again, it's listed as a permitted use in the 115-210, which is the permitted uses. And the concern about the special use exceptions per 115-210, which is the zoning code that identifies the special use exceptions, says these are special use exceptions where it's identified in those sections of code. In this instance, it's not identified in 115-114 as a special use exception. Again, it's identified in 115-110C as a permitted use. So therefore, it does not require a special use exception because it's not a requirement, because it's not a special use as it's identified as a permitted use. And
so you're going by the 110. You don't have to go by the 110-210.
No, because under 110, it's the permitted uses.
Okay.
110 lists the permitted uses. So all zoning class districts go permitted uses, permitted accessory uses, conditional uses, special uses. So they break them out in the categories into which they would fall.
Okay.
In this instance, this use as a concrete products or central mixing and proportioning plant falls under the permitted uses in the HI zoning district.
So that's why you didn't have to run any farther.
Correct.
Okay.
Because we received an application for a concrete products or central mixing and proportioning plant. That's how it was identified in the site plan. So we processed it per the code that that was the type of use that was permitted.
Okay.
Good evening. Vince Robertson with Parkowski, Girk & Swayze. I'm also one of the county attorneys, and I represent the Planning and Zoning Office and Ms. Cornwell specifically. I have the unusual position, one, of agreeing with Mr. Fuquay. That doesn't happen all that often. The third thing is I get to go, or the second thing is I get to go after both of them, and I agree, obviously, with pretty much everything that Mr. Fuquay and Ms. Cornwell has said. As was stated by Mr. Fuquay, there's essentially three issues on appeal. I'm going to try to hit the highlights on those because I think what's been said is already touched on, and I get the feeling that you all are starting to understand what the code says. But the three questions, again, are, should she have required a potentially hazardous public use or potentially hazardous use public hearing? Was her decision not to refer Cheney Enterprises to a public hearing on a special use exception an error? And should the preliminary site plan be declared null and void? It's an important issue for you all to consider because words have meaning and the code has meaning. I'm concerned that what Mr. Witzel has said to you all is to cherry pick portions of the code or sections of the code and try to use those to fit his client's argument. But we actually have to look at what the code says because it's important in Sussex County that property owners, the county, you all, Planning and Zoning and County Council, have predictability in how they apply their zoning codes. So with that said, I'm going to start, like Mr. Fuquay, with the site plan, and I'll make that short. I don't even think, as Mr. Sharp mentioned, that's really on appeal here this evening. There was an appeal that's been stayed, I believe, to County Council on that issue. Really, it's sort of a moot point because under 115-209, I'm not sure that the Board of Adjustment has authority to consider an appeal from the Planning and Zoning Commission because it talks about an administrative official, not a commissioner body of the county. There was reference in the letter to the fact that the preliminary site plan should be declared null and void because of naming. I'm not going to get into too much of the details on how site plans work, but as I mentioned during Mr. Witzel's presentation, site plans show up because they're permitted uses. They're an other business item on a planning and zoning agenda on Thursday nights, and there's usually 10 or 12 of them. And because they're not public hearings, staff's already done the review of them, and if it meets the code requirements, they're acted on. Once you get preliminary site plan approval, you go through and get all your agency approval. Staff goes through and redlines everything and makes any changes, which may include changes to the text. That's a normal thing between preliminary and final. I just point that out for the sake of the process. The next one is that there should have been a potentially hazardous use public hearing. I'm not going to go through all the details of that, but I do want to get, we have 110 up on the code. I'm going to do my best Vanna White on this, if you'll permit me to. Because really it breaks down into three things. And I'm going to go through what it says. So 115-110 is permitted uses. It says a building or land shall be used only for the following purposes. Then you drop down, there's ABC. So a building or land shall only be used for the following purposes. The following uses. Then we drop down further. Need to scroll. Not so far. Concrete products and central mixing or proportioning plants. Really, you stop there, because that's what it says. Permitted uses, a building or land shall only be used for the following purposes, the following uses, concrete products or central mixing and proportioning plants. The second phrase, we want to go back up to see, okay. It's important that there's that and there. And any similar industrial uses, which are not likely to create any more offensive noise, vibration, dust, heat, smoke, odor, glares, or other objectionable influences than the minimum amount normally resulting, etc. That's, as Mr. Fuqua stated, was if the terms are not quite the same, but it's identical, but for those terms, that picks that up. And that's where we get into the batching versus the mixing and proportioning plants. And those are identical, as Mr. Carson asked. And you don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to take Mr. Fuqua's word for it. You can take Mr. Witzel's word for it, because he put that in his letter, that they're interchangeable and identical. So the next part, as we talked about, is where any doubt exists. Here, there's no doubt. It's listed as permitted. And then we have that catch-all in Mr. Witzel's letter that says that even if it wasn't permitted, it's the same. There's no doubt. The only doubt that we have here is Mr. Witzel sending a whole bunch of letters into the Office of Planning and Zoning saying he disagrees with what the code says so. But the code has, or the county has to look at what the code says. We can't rely on what people send in letters all the time, or we'd never get anywhere.
Can you read that whole sentence then? Not just where any doubt exists. Read the whole thing.
Where any doubt exists as to the nature of the proposed use, product, or process, the proposal shall be considered as a potentially hazardous use and referred to the Board of Adjustment for decision after a public hearing.
That has to be determined. If it's even in somebody's thought, and then the reasons why it would be that.
And that would go back to the similar industrial uses, not the following list. That's the similar industrial uses.
And there's an issue with that, because it talks about, and I want to explain how that might play out in real life. You know, and going back up into 115.110c, it talks about this being specifically listed as a permitted use. If I'm a property owner, I'm entitled to rely on what it says. You know, if I've got a permitted use, if I'm a farmer, I know that I can do agriculture in AR1. I'm entitled to rely on that. There shouldn't be, and there isn't, a go-behind on that to see if it's a potentially hazardous use or if it creates, you know, noise, odor, or dust. And I was listening to Mr. Witzel, and I was thinking about that. You know, basically, let me give you a real-life scenario on that. So permitted uses in HI incorporates the permitted uses in LI2. LI2's permitted uses include agriculture. As we all know, there's an agriculture use protection notice, which talks about agriculture creating noise, odors, dust, vibrations. I think it talks about nighttime farming operations and things like that. That's virtually the same language you have here. And if we apply Mr. Witzel's logic on this, any farmer who wants to farm in LI2, or because it's a permitted use in HI, would get thrown into that whole other category of process where they'd have to come in front of you for the Board of Adjustment because it's a quote-unquote potentially hazardous use. That's the absurd result that Mr. Fuqua was talking about. You know, if it's permitted, it's permitted. There's no go-behind on that to see if it's permitted or not.
So why did they even put it in there?
Well, that picks up if there was doubt, you know, if it wasn't something that was specifically listed, and we've got it specifically listed here.
So would that come up hypothetically if for some reason there was something that maybe in the future came up that was similar to concrete but not concrete, used in a similar fashion, maybe there's some new product that's come out, that's where that might come into play?
You know, hypothetically, it's tough to say, but it would be some, I think, some totally different use or technology, you know, that we haven't thought of. Say there was some, you know, we didn't use concrete or asphalt for roads, and there was some new material that none of us have thought of now, you know, like, I don't know, 10 years from now they come up with, and it has a process that we don't know about, but it sounds similar. If Ms. Cornwell had doubt as to that, that would put it in front of the Board of Adjustment. I think that's the scenario. you know, again, it goes back to what I think is fundamentally important to Sussex County is predictability in zoning. You know, we don't want to create all these separate processes for people when things are spelled out in the code as permitted uses. With 115.111, that's the potentially hazardous uses, and that's the section that Mr. Witzel tried to superimpose onto the permitted uses in section 110. I want to go through that again as well. I'll go up there. Because it breaks down two different ways, too. It talks about the following uses, and then it lists a whole bunch of uses that require a public hearing. Well, none of those, the concrete mixing and batching doesn't appear in here because it's a permitted use. Then again, it says, or the manufacture, compounding, processing, or packaging of treatment or products. Not specifically listed above or below. Well, listed above, that's the item in 110C, where we had it, the concrete batching, mixing and batching. And so, again, it kicks it out altogether of section 115.111. There's some interesting stuff in there, too, if you look. There's atomic reactors and some other things in there that require public hearings.
So using that, is that where the doubt comes in that, you know, it's not listed above or below in 115-111?
Sort of
like... it's like if it were, there's doubt up in 110 about whether it's a permitted, whether it's something that fits under that permitted use, that's where it would get kicked down if it's not listed above.
You know, I guess you could look at it almost a safety valve in that regard. Yeah.
No. That would be why it's there.
Yeah. And that's the logical, I think, reading of it. So again, and Mr. Fuqua went through this at length, but it's simple. It's listed in 115.110C as a permitted use. That's where the end of the discussion was, and Ms. Cornwell process it accordingly. The next issue is, should it been required to get a special use exception? As Mr. Fuqua stated, and I'm not elaborate on that, Section 115.114 sets out why or what someone in the HI can apply for as a special use exception. It's not listed in there because it's a permitted use. You wouldn't have it in both places. I mean, it's as simple as that. Because there's a problem there, is Mr. Witzel then goes to Section 115-210, and as Mr. Fuqua indicated, that's sort of a general zoning section of the zoning code. It's not part of the individual zoning districts or even the HI district. Basically, what he is arguing is that 115-210 has some sort of super priority over what is identified in the individual zoning districts. And I do want to highlight there are some important words contained in 115.210. If you look about halfway down the introductory paragraph, talks about limited as to locations described in the article. And then if you drop down, it talks about in A1 the uses which are specified in each district. Now, here again, we don't have concrete batching plants listed as a special use exception in the HI district because they're permitted uses. So 115.210 has no bearing whatsoever on the Cheney use. It cannot overcome what each district states, and by its own language it does not. And I was trying to think of examples for that. You know, the absurd result if you sort of superimpose 210 on all the other zoning districts. If you look at 210C, it creates a special use exception for commercial greenhouses. So under Mr. Witzel's argument, you need to get a special use exception anytime you wanted to do a commercial greenhouse. But commercial greenhouses are permitted uses on 5 or more acres in the AR1 district. Is Mr. Witzel suggesting that now 210 overrides AR1 and the permitted uses there, that anyone wanting to do a commercial greenhouse now has to go get a special use exception from the Board of Adjustment? Again, that's an absurd result. It's a permitted use in AR1. Why would we even need to look at what's a special use exception? 210 doesn't even come into play at all in that regard. With that, I'm going to conclude my presentation. I agree with all of the cases cited by and the legal precedents cited by Mr. Fuqua, so I'm not going to reiterate those. You know, what Mr. Witzel's trying to do here essentially is amend the Sussex County zoning code on the fly. He's trying to make it say something it doesn't, create processes that don't apply to property owners in the county, or just state things that don't exist in the code. That's a dangerous precedent that circumvents the code and the predictability of it, and it shouldn't be tolerated by the Board of Adjustment this evening. Ms. Cornwell, as the director of the Planning and Zoning Office, looked at what the code said, made the correct determination that it is a permitted use, and allowed the site plan to proceed. It's an easy decision for you tonight. It's a permitted use, and the decision of the Planning and Zoning Director should be upheld. Thank you. And I'll stand by for any questions.
Are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. Sharp.
There were some letters that
Mr. Is this a question for us?
For Ms. Cornwell. There were some letters that Mr. Witzel and Mr. Fuqua had submitted that both appeared to have come up prior to the hearing before the commission. Had you had a chance to review those prior to the commission meeting?
Yes.
Okay. So you took into consideration all of those in determining whether the site plan could go forward?
Correct.
Okay. And do you know if there's been any similar determinations in HI1 that the office has made or prior director you have made regarding a similar proposal?
Not for a permitted use, no.
And I guess the other thing is on the potentially hazardous use, has the office taken the approach that if someone were to use packaging or like I see in here flour feed and grain milling as a potentially hazardous use, is that something that would go as a, you know, if you had a bakery, you would have to go under potentially hazardous use? Have staff taken that position in the past?
We have not.
Okay. All right. I don't have any further questions for Ms. Cornwell.
Okay. I have a brief recess.